We have been spending some time together, just kind of in a very practical way, talking about what it means to be peacemakers in a world that wants a fight. We live in a culture that just, it seems to feed on conflict. Everybody's mad about something. And that's just kind of the world in which we live. But we can learn from Scripture, we can learn ways to bring peace into that kind of conflict. This morning, I want us to think about one very specific aspect of peacemaking, and that is the danger of assumptions. If you'll look with me, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 18 most of our time this morning. We'll look at a few other things as well. But we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs chapter 18. I want to show you this picture as you find your way to Proverbs 18. Can you see the triangle that points up? You see that white triangle that points up? You know, in reality, there's no triangle there. All that's really there are three Pac-Man looking little designs and then three angles or little V's. So really you got three Pac-Mans and three V's. There's no triangle. But we see a triangle because our mind knows what that's supposed to be and our mind can fill in the gaps to make that image make sense. This is actually a very popular, well-known optical illusion. It's called the Kinesia triangle. The triangle doesn't exist, but we see it because our minds work in this way. When we don't have all the information, our minds fill in the details that are missing. We kind of think them up on our own so that we can make sense of what we're seeing. That's one of the remarkable things about the human mind, how quickly it fills in missing information. We see something, we hear something, we notice a look on someone's face. We read a short text without being able to see the face behind it or the tone of voice, and we put all the extra stuff together and our mind starts connecting the dots, and before we know it, we have built an entire story in our minds. We have assigned motives. We've interpreted intentions. And we already start planning our reaction. We've begun reacting emotionally to something that may not even be true. And we experience this all the time. I want to make sure and preface our work together this morning by saying the stuff that we're going to talk about today is not stuff that makes you a bad person. It is stuff, for lack of a better word, that we all experience. What I want us to do is to be able to recognize that experience. Not about shame or guilt, but it's about the ability to acknowledge that my mind is going to add the details that I don't really know. And I have to be really careful when I start assigning, making assumptions based on what I think I know, because I don't recognize that my brain is the one who put a lot of that information in there. This is where I want us to spend some time. Look with me, Proverbs chapter 18. First thing I want us to realize this morning is that we reach a verdict before we hear the case. In chapter 18, look at verse 13. This is a courtroom setting. And the verses that we're going to look at in this chapter are all intended to paint a picture of a trial in a courtroom. At verse 13, he says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. In other words, the judge and the jury cannot make a decision until they have heard all the evidence, until they have heard the witnesses. He says it would be foolish for someone to decide something, to make a decision, without all the information. And friends, we do this all the time. We call it jumping to a conclusion, but we all do it. We allow our brain to fill in the information that's missing, and then we make a decision when we don't have all the facts, all the true information. Assumption is a conclusion reached before understanding is complete. Let me go through that again. Assumption is a conclusion that is reached before understanding is complete. We want to be very careful that we don't render judgment or make a decision before we hear. That's why James encouraged us, be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. You don't want to make a decision before you hear the whole case. Imagine how wrong it would be to let the prosecution make their case and then the judge say, okay, I've heard enough. Here's my ruling. No defense. No other evidence. Only one point of view is presented. Friends, this is what I see over and over and over. And this is why we want to be so careful. We generally hang out with people like us. Generally speaking, we hang out with people we like. And they generally see the world a lot like we do. That's why we wound up flocking together. Right? What that does is it puts us in an echo chamber so that when an issue comes up, we always hear from the same voices, and they are voices that we've already decided that we agree with. And so we kind of spur each other up, thinking, okay, this must be right because everybody sees it this way. No, it's just the ones we're listening to, and we're not listening to all of the information. We feed off of those that we like, those that already say stuff we already agree with, and once they say it, then we say, ah, that proves it, and we're settled. This is a very harsh proverb when he says you don't want to answer before you hear. He says that would be folly and shame. To you and me, to our ears, folly and shame, that almost sounds kind of cute. Folly is just kind of a cute sounding word. And shame, oops, uh-oh. That's not at all what Solomon was saying, nor is it what the original readers would have read when they read his writing. When he says it's folly, he is comparing that to the fool who says there's no God. In Proverbs, the wise man, Proverbs chapter 1, follows God. It is the fool who says there is no God. So throughout the book of Proverbs, foolishness is not something to laugh at. Solomon takes it very seriously. He says, you are messed up if you live this kind of life where you make decisions before you hear. And then he says that's not only folly, but it's shame. In other words, what he's saying is, if you let yourself go there, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. There's something not right. This is a warning. And it's one that we all need to hear because we can all wind up here so quickly. Look at verse 2 of this same chapter. Chapter 18 and verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool doesn't care what the facts are. The fool just wants to be heard. The fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. He wants to be heard. He wants to say his thing. He wants everybody to ooh and awe over what he's got to say. Solomon says, that's not the person that we are excited about. That's someone who is acting like a fool. You see, we make assumptions when we reach a verdict before we hear the case. We want to be really careful that we get all the information. Don't allow our minds to do what it's going to do naturally, and that is to fill in the empty spots with our own imagination. The second thing that we can learn from this proverb about the danger of assumptions. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, we learn that the first story always sounds right. Chapter 18, verse 17, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Again, in the courtroom, the one who states his case first seems right. As soon as the first lawyer goes through the evidence with the witness, asking questions, the witness says what the witness has to say, that lawyer is going to direct the witness in a certain path. That lawyer is going to bring out certain aspects of the story that the lawyer wants to emphasize. And so here he says, the one who states his case first seems right. After the prosecution has talked to this witness and presented their evidence, man, that sounds right. That makes so much sense. If we vote right now, that dude's going to jail. Because it sounds exactly right. The problem is we haven't heard the other side. He says the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. When the other comes and examines him, we find out there's more to the story. There are other ways of seeing things. There's something else that we didn't fully understand. More information comes out, another perspective appears, those missing details begin to surface, and that situation looks a lot different. Earlier I mentioned how we wind up in echo chambers or silos. We wind up listening to the same people all the time, and they're people that we already kind of agree with. And so what happens then is we hear that side of the story first, and every one of us tends to believe the first story we hear. The proverb says this is how this works for human beings. Therefore, be aware of that tendency and be open to understanding a fuller truth. He says the one who states his case first seems right until, meaning, things changed when the other comes and examines him. Notice that Solomon doesn't say the first person is always wrong. That first person, the first story you hear, that might be right. It might be 100% right. But you don't want to make that determination until you have all the information. He's not saying that the first person is wrong. He's just saying don't assume that they're always right. There's a difference between what happened and why we think it happened. We fill in the blanks. We listen to our story. He didn't return my call. That's information. That's a fact. He didn't return my call because he doesn't respect me. That's a verdict. That's an assumption. The gap between those two sentences is exactly where most of our unnecessary conflict lives. It's when we make those assumptions and assign those motives. If you were going to buy a used truck, you would not track down that truck owner and say, well, just does it run? Truck owner says, sure, it runs. You say, okay, I'll take it. No, if it's a used truck, you're going to say, does it run? Yeah. Well, has it been in a wreck? Well, when's the last time that somebody mentioned a gizmo. There you go. When's the last time the oil was changed? Yeah. Have you kept it up? Speaking of oil, why is that little oil leaking down under? Why is there a puddle of oil underneath? You're going to talk about these things. And that reminds us that our goal is to get all of the information. This matters especially with gossip. Someone says, do you know what she did to me? Now you're angry too. And you ain't even heard the story yet, much less both sides of it. Look at Proverbs 18:8. We're in chapter 18, look at 8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. What are the words of a whisperer? Man, I gotta tell you, you are not gonna believe this. Wait till I tell you what she said. Oh my goodness, have you heard the latest? And as soon as somebody introduces that idea, and you know it's true, all of us have that same appetite. Somebody introduces it like that, and man, we gotta get us a bite. Tell us some of that. Oh, man, I'm hungry for that. Spill the tea right here. I got to have me some. I've got to hear about this. Solomon says it's an appetite within us. It's a morsel that tastes good. But the last part of this verse tells us the problem with that. When something tastes good, we want it. We take it in, right? That's what happens to ice cream and Oreos, and you wind up like this. When it tastes good, we got to have us a little bit. And whispers, gossip, it tastes good. We're included in something. We know something. And it gives us some ammunition against that other one we don't like very much. It sounds good. It tastes good. And so because it tastes good, we ingest it. And the Bible, this verse says, it goes way down into our inner being. And it actually becomes a part of who we are. Now we have accepted the whispers of a gossip as truth. And once I believe that truth, anyone who defends a different point of view, I'm going to assume they're wrong. They're lying. They're not trustworthy. This is how insidious, that means bad. This is how bad this stuff can get. We need to make sure that we remember that picture of that triangle. There was no triangle there. Our brains put the pieces together and told us there was a triangle. When we hear bits and pieces of whispers and gossip, and then we put it all together in our mind, we have made assumptions that are very dangerous, because we take those assumptions and half-truths and they become a part of us. And then when we hear the real truth, it's hard for us to accept. Let me show you one more thing. Assumptions become dangerous when we assign motives. They become dangerous because they're not based on fact, but they really become dangerous when we assign motives. What I mean by that is, so-and-so did something wrong to me, and the reason they did that wrong to me is because they're jealous of me because I'm better looking than they are. The reason that they did that is because they're greedy and they're trying to find some way to make a buck. The reason that, you see how easy it is for us to assign motives? We do it all the time. I want you to remember a very important story. 1 Samuel chapter 16 records it for us. Samuel goes to Jesse's house to find the next king. Jesse brings out all his sons. Well, here's a big, I never understood the word strapping. You know what strapping, a big strapping young man. Here he is, he's smart, he's brave, he's good looking. He's going to be our king. Samuel almost picks him, and God says, no, that's not the one. He goes to the next one. This is a good-looking guy. This is smart. I mean, he could do. God says, he's not the one. Go to the next one. God says, he's not the one. Samuel says, wait, you got any more kids anywhere? Jesse and the others say, well, there's just Dave. He's out back watching the critters. Samuel says, okay, well, none of these are it, so let's bring in little Dave and see what he can do. They bring in little Dave, and God says, this is your man. And then God teaches Samuel something that we all can learn from. He says, the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. There's only so much that you and I can see and understand about each other. We look on the outward appearance, and then we make all those assumptions. We put the missing pieces together in our own minds because all we can do is look at the outside. The Lord, however, looks on the heart. He understands the truth of what's going on inside the person for real. The reason this is important for us to see this morning is notice that the Lord is the one who sees the heart. You ain't him. You can't see the heart. You can't really know the motivation. All you can see is the outward appearance, the way things look. So you and I have to be very careful that we don't make a decision before we've heard all the truth and that we don't assign an agenda to someone else or that we don't assign those motives. I know why they did that. It's because, no, you don't know that because you can't see their heart. There is a fundamental attribution error. Have you ever heard of this? The foundational, it's really fundamental, but AI changed the word for me. It's the fundamental attribution error. What is it? We explain our behavior by our circumstances and other people's behavior by their character. I was late today because the traffic was so busy. It was crazy. Have you seen I-35? I was late because of the bad traffic. I explained my behavior based on my circumstances, their behavior by their character. That person was late because they don't care about this meeting. See how easy it is for us to do that? That person was really short to me. Wasn't friendly at all. That's because they're a sorry, no good. Fill in the blank. I did the very same thing. I was short to you. But that's because I didn't sleep good last night. And I've just had a stressful day, and I just have a lot on my mind. We explain our behavior by our circumstances and other people's behavior by their character. This is why Proverbs, why Solomon, the wisest man ever, wants us to understand how our brain works, that we fill in the blanks, and when we do that, we're making assumptions, and then we start assigning those agendas and those motives, even though we can't really know that part of another person. And it leads to this foundational or fundamental attribution error. We make a mistake because we always think that someone else did what they did as a sign of their bad character. Number four, let me leave you with this. Love looks past its own case. Staying in the courtroom, one presents his or her case. Love brings us to a place of humility that says, this is my case, this is how I view it. However, I'm humble enough to say, I might not know everything yet, so now I want to hear your side. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm going to make it my task to demonstrate love through humility. And in so doing, I can become a peacemaker. Because now I care about your side and your story more than I care about winning. God, would you help us to become peacemakers? The world around us doesn't get it. The world around us actually honors the opposite. But help us to live like Christ, to demonstrate love through humility. Lord, forgive us for all those many times that we have caused unnecessary conflict because we tried to fill in the blanks without knowing the truth, because we assigned motives, because we chose to pretend we knew someone's heart. Lord, we're all guilty. We all confess. Would you forgive us and help us to grow that we might become more like Christ, that we might make peace in a world that still loves to fight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.